Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Well, coming up later this hour, a call-in for anyone who attended the yearly Coast Conference over the weekend. We will have one of the organizers, by the way, as well as Ben Smith from the Politico, the blog, who has an interesting critique of the place of progressive bloggers in the Democratic Party. He says their influence is actually waning compared to 2004, even though the phenomenon is so new. So we'll take calls from anyone who was at Yearly Coast later in the hour. Also, the mysterious disappearance of the honeybees. But first, the mysterious disappearance of jobs from New York State from some of the very companies that we had given tax breaks to during the Pataki administration to add and keep jobs here. The New York Times editorial page calls it the other scandal. And when you think about it, maybe this is a lot more important to our futures than whether Elliot Spitzer was spying on Joe Bruno's helicopter use. So we will talk about it now with New York Times correspondent Nicholas Confessori, who has covered the fate of the Empire Zones and those jobs. Nick, welcome to WNYC. Hello.
Hi, Brian. Good morning.
What's an Empire Zone?
Empire Zone is basically a geographic area that's drawn in the law and within which a company can receive certain kinds of tax breaks, tax credits for sales tax and for investing and building. And the idea is basically to sort of spur investment in the areas of the Empire Zones.
Who gets what exactly in an Empire Zone?
It's about six or seven different kinds of tax credits, and they accrue to businesses depending on whether they move into the zone from out of state or from other parts in the state, and it basically goes to companies. And the idea is the companies will also get credits for producing jobs, that they produce a certain number of jobs against a target or a certain amount of investment inside the zone against a target that they can then apply for credits against what they have accomplished in the zone.
And what the editorial page calls a scandal, apparently, is that the Empire Zone tax breaks were often based on political connections, not actual job creation?
Well, that's one of the problems. There are so many problems with this program that Richard Brodsky, a Westchester assemblyman, has been very critical of them, advised his colleagues to try and shut the program down or halt it until they could figure out how to make it less full of loopholes. I mean, this is, for anybody who keeps an eye on corporate welfare, this is really a classic example of mission creep in a tax break, something that goes from a targeted tax break originally aimed at really high poverty, intensely poor urban areas, to a kind of a generic tax break to almost any business that wants one and can kind of get itself drawn into an Empire Zone.
And The this is not entirely new. The editorial says questions arose a few years ago after news reports about the games being played by Empire Zone. Some of the stories were outrageous, like the company that claimed a tax credit of $250,000 and created one job paying $26,000, or the shirt changers who were simply changing the federal identification number of their companies and then taking credit for all their old employees as new hires.
Yep, that was a huge problem. The shirt changers were, I believe there was a lot of them in the Syracuse area, but they're really all over the state. There were a lot of big law firms with political connections that were shirt changers, and they would basically create new LLCs, new corporations, and reincorporate, and then claim the credits as though they were a company that had moved into the Empire Zone from out of state. Another example is, in the really dirty aspect of this, you'll have Empire Zones, you'll have kind of a, in addition to an Empire Zone, that's basically a little island, and the border is just drawn around the property owned by the business.
Wow.
So whether or not it's in the original Empire Zone, and also they get a sense of the mission creep on these. There used to be, I believe, like 7, 8, 9 of these Empire Zones, and they were all in high-poverty urban areas. There's now about 80 or upwards of 80, and there's one in almost every county in the state, at least one in almost every county in the state.
No business is an island except when they are.
Yes.
And I wonder if anybody's listening right now. We only have a few minutes on this, but if anybody's listening who works for an Empire Zone company or who works in the public sector, who's had contact with an Empire Zone company, who has gotten a job as a result of an Empire Zone designation and tax break, as far as you can tell, or anyone else with any relationship to this issue who might want to add to this. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, as we speak with New York Times correspondent Nicholas Confessori. So were any laws broken?
Well, I think that's the scandal is not what's, you know, legal. It's what's legal. What happened last week was that for the first time in this program's 20-year history, somebody in charge decided to actually check whether any of these companies were meeting their investment or job creation targets. There are about 10,000 companies that are certified to apply for these credits. And this review of the 2005 kind of statistics for each of these companies found that 3,000 out of 10,000 appeared to have met 60% or less of either their job creation or their investment goals or both. Now, that's a really huge number when you think about it. Now, what's going to happen next is they're going to go and do a check of the 2006 numbers. They're going to talk to all of the companies and see if they've been making more progress towards their goals, see if there's a reason to not strip them of their certification. But that's a real, I mean, this is a program that has cost tens and hundreds of millions of dollars every year in lost tax revenue. And I've seen one estimate that it's created over its entire history, maybe between 40,000 and 45,000 jobs.
I want to know if there will be as much money spent investigating this as there will investigating whether Spitzer knew what his aides were doing with respect to Joe Bruno.
I wouldn't count on it. Part of the problem is, you know, this is a pretty high tax state in truth, and you see a lot of, you know, members of the Assembly and Senate who defend it, saying, "Well, listen, maybe this wasn't the original point, but it's important to have tax breaks for business. This is a high tax state, and if we can't get the broader kind of tax system fixed, we might as well be giving them these breaks." I think that's a weak argument on its merits in a lot of ways. If taxes are too high in businesses, you should find a way to cut taxes on businesses. This is pretty much it's verging on a special interest tax break. But because it is now so widespread,
a special interest tax break on false premises in many cases, it sounds like.
It sounds like, again, they haven't said that. The Empire State Development Corporation, which is kind of the first line of administration on this, has not made any allegations of fraud yet. And I think, you know, it's entirely likely that we'll see some as they continue their review, but it hasn't happened yet.
Or if not fraud, on false premises in the sense that the public is told that the Empire Zone is to give tax breaks to businesses who are going to create or retain jobs, but then the rules don't actually require them to do that.
Well, that again would not. It would be fraud, perhaps in a public sense. I'm not sure it would be
right.
The
that's
law
right. I'm not talking about.
Threatening.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
All right, Michael in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hi, Michael.
Hi. How's it going?
All right. What's
Thanks
up?
Thanks for having me on.
What you got?
I work with manufacturers all around New York City. Work for a nonprofit that does a lot of work with city government.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, this is a real. You know, there's been a lot of beating up on this program. I totally agree. There have been problems with it. And there are problems with companies taking advantage of these things and all the loopholes that your guest described.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, manufacturing jobs are really good jobs. They pay $10,000 to $16,000 more than retail or restaurant jobs. And we need to do whatever we can to keep them here. You know, they're a good path for people who haven't completed high school, who don't have high levels of English. And so we need to be doing something to keep them in. You know, I've known a lot of small businesses that the Empire program has helped. You know, it's convinced some people to move to East Williamsburg instead of, you know, going to some random place in Queens. So it does help bring jobs to areas where they're needed. But, you know, a lot of these people would trade, a lot of these companies would trade the benefits that the Empire program give for real estate stability, which the city can give them for free if they put in the right kind of zoning in place.
Huh, that's interesting. Thank you very much. Well, Nicholas, I guess we shouldn't lose sight of the fact, based on Michael's call, that although there may be some, you know, a lot of horrible exceptions that seem like ripoffs to the taxpayers, that also in some cases they do create jobs. And, you know, Michael's talking about people in Williamsburg who benefit.
Yeah, you know, I think it's a very simple test. If you're meeting the goals and the requirements of certification, and the certification process is fairly accurate and careful, there's no reason why businesses shouldn't benefit from this program. If you're not making your but again, if you're missing your targets year after year, and if you're claiming credits for jobs you haven't really produced, that's really a scandal. And so it's very simple. If you're meeting the goals of the program, you should get the benefits of the program, I think.
Here's another testimonial. Ron in Pelham, you're on WNYC. Hi, Ron.
Hi, good morning. Good morning, gentlemen. How you doing?
Good. What you got?
This company I worked for didn't actually hire more people. What they did was they purchased a warehouse that was on the verge of falling down, about 5 acres in Pelham. They rehabbed it. They rebuilt it. And I tell you what, it's a testament to taxes when the government can say that we have to take less taxes from a company so you can be successful. I think it only emphasizes the fact that everyone is overtaxed. If you have to tell somebody we'll take less tax from you to start, then I think everyone should see that we're overtaxed if you just cut taxes back.
Or another way, to, a more skeptical way of looking at it, Ron, is that there's a race to the bottom among states and municipalities. For example, this debate that they're having in Washington now about how to tax hedge fund consultants. Should they be taxed like other workers at, you know, the rate that your income is normally taxed at? Or should their work be taxed as capital gains, which is a lower rate, as if it was a stock instead of a person? And the main reason that people like Chuck Schumer give for retaining the low tax rate is that Europe has a lower tax rate on these hedge fund consultants, and so they can just go to Europe.
Well, I think if Mr. Schumer wasn't so interested in Mr. Wilson, he'd get more accomplished in this state.
Mr. Wilson?
If he wasn't so interested.
Oh, Joe Wilson.
So, you know, I mean, if he focused on the state and not leaving the state every single day, and if he cut back on his Sunday press conferences and maybe did some, you know, true work, I think we'd be all better. But the fact that the taxes are too high, that the state says, yes, we're too high and we need to cut back taxes so this company can come into this area and be more successful, I said, you know, the hypocrisy is absolutely ridiculous. Cut the taxes across the board. Let growth take over on its own. And people that do need assistance, that's fine. But you know what? It always works out the same. The government taxes the little guy and gives it back to the big company. That's the bottom line. A big company gets to come in. He hires 50 people. He gets the tax rates. He makes more money. And the guy working there, yeah, he gets a job. But how long is that job going to be there? Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? The limitation on my tax break is up. It's been 5-10 years.
Uh-huh.
Good. Let's move. Let's get another LLC and let's move on down the road and we'll start over again and screw these 15 people who now have 5 years in the workplace.
Right. So how could they make it more effective, both for you and for the people you employ?
Well, the system is so badly damaged at this point, they have to incrementally cut back taxes. Manufacturing jobs, they should almost not be taxed. Manufacturing in this country has been destroyed. You'd have to literally rebuild the system for manufacturing. Get out of the entrepreneur's way and let him hire who's necessary. Let him hire who will make him the most money. The bottom line is companies do not survive unless there is a profit. That's it. And profit is now evil in this country. If he does not make a profit, these 15, 20, 30, or 40 people now do not have a job. The boss comes in driving a Mercedes. Oh, look, he has a Mercedes. Who cares? It's irrelevant what he does. It's irrelevant that these people are employed, that these people can make a wage, and that the company can be successful to the level that now health care can be provided and the option is given it.
Ron, thank you very much. Please call us again, okay?
Thank you.
Thank you. Well, we've heard two actually ringing testimonials about how the Empire Zone program actually works for people in some cases, plus Ron's larger critique of the system. And so I wonder, what position, Nicholas, do you think this all leaves the Spitzer administration in? They didn't make these Empire Zone deals, which are now apparently not paying off. There is still the perception, as Ron was pointing out, that New York is a very high tax state to do business in compared to other states in general. And somehow they have to administer the program going forward.
I think the Spitzer people, you know, from my watching, seem to be very aware of the tax problem. You know, he made a campaign pledge that he wouldn't raise taxes, and he hasn't. And he's cut property taxes. His people seem very conscious of the tax burden, and also the way the different kinds of local and city and state spending interact. So one thing I remember, one thing that they were very focused on was, as they were doing some of their budgeting and their programming, they did not want to do what some past governors had did, which is basically cut state funding and then just put it on to the municipalities who have to raise local taxes and property taxes again to pay for stuff. And the business environment is harder, is less favorable in this state than other states. And I think, you know, I find very few people who in the business community who criticize the governor for not trying hard enough on that stuff. I mean, the Business Council, which is one of the larger business groups in the state, seems very happy with him on those issues, and Smith think he's going in the right direction to try and reduce the cost of doing business.
We're almost out of time, but Spitzer is also taking some heat from his critics for not doing anything much yet about the dismal upstate economy, or certainly not having any results to show.
Yeah, you know, he's getting criticism, and, you know, certainly every person running for a statewide office, including both of our U.S. senators, have kind of made this a focal point of campaigns. And on the one hand, you could say, yeah, we haven't seen any results yet. On the other hand, you know, it's 8 months into his administration. You know, it's probably fair to ask, you know, perhaps they need a little more time, and perhaps it will take a little more time to get things rolling or to see the effects of some of the things he already has done, like, I think, cutting property taxes, which allows municipalities to kind of cut their, I mean, rather, he's
right,
created a tax program that allows municipalities to then cut their taxes, and that makes it easier on everybody. So I think, you know, if his policies are going to work, I'm not sure we would have seen them work
right
by now. But we'll see.
You know, we're over time, but I'm so struck by the testimonials coming in on the phone from people who work for companies that they think are really being helped by Empire Zones and actually creating jobs as a result in neighborhoods that need them. So let me just sneak in a few callers real short here. Maria in Westchester, you're on WNYC. Hi, Maria.
Hi, Brian. Brian, I love your show.
Thank you. What's your story, real quick?
Quickly, I was economic both in the city of New York as well as Westchester County. And, you know, I have to tell you that the program, the Empire Zone program, is not a perfect program, but it has the right incentives. It has the right goals in terms of providing training and jobs for people in communities that need them, people who ordinarily would not necessarily walk into these companies to apply for these positions.
So when some people like Assemblyman Brodsky call for scrapping it right now and starting over, you think that would be dangerous?
Well, I think that you have to look at the program in terms of its impact. I certainly think that management of the program needs to be improved tremendously. I think that's really where they should begin this review process and to try and make adjustments from that standpoint, because overall, you know, you've got smaller businesses in areas that may not necessarily be economically as appealing as they should be.
As a result of Empire Zones.
Precisely. This program.
Maria, I'm going to have to leave it there. And Leah in East Williamsburg, you're on WNYC. Hi, Leah.
Hi. How are you guys doing?
Good.
So I heard you were talking about manufacturers in East Williamsburg, so I figured I'd call in.
Yeah, real quick. You have an Empire Zone company there?
Yeah, well, I administer the Empire Zone for the businesses in East Williamsburg.
Oh.
And although I think Mr. Consessori has a number of valid points about the criticisms of the Empire Zone program, particularly with the shirt changers, there's a fundamental misunderstanding about how the projections that a business makes when they're applying for certification in the program
mm-hmm.
differs with the actual tax credits that are given to them.
Mm-hmm.
And so let me explain a little. Firms need to tell the state, in order to get these tax benefits, what sort of investments they're going to be making in exchange for the tax benefits. So they make these projections 5 years out based on, you know, whatever set of assumptions they're working with. Now, what happens, though, when they actually come time to claim those tax credits, they do it on their you know, annual tax forms, and they can only get credit for the actual number of jobs they've created or the actual monetary investment they've made in their firm. The tax credits are not distributed based on those projections.
They're not distributed based on projections. They're distributed based on actual investments and created jobs, you're saying.
Right. And so it's actually a pretty good economic development program in that way, because they only get the credit if they make mm-hmm. the investment. It's not like they get a check at the outset and then they have to make good on something. They only get the reward in the tax year after they've made the investment.
So, Nicholas Confessori, what's the problem? That sounds so on the up and up, the way she describes it, at least.
Yeah, no, and I certainly said that earlier, that you basically make a projection and you apply for a credit based on the results. But again, it's not that every company in this is corrupt or kind of not making its goals. The question is, what is the point of the program? It is no longer the program it was. The way you qualify for one has evolved so much over time. Look, if we're going to have, I think what you would say is, if you're going to have a business tax credit program, have a business tax credit program. Design it for that purpose. But it's just bad policy to start out with something that says, well, we're going to start and target extreme urban poverty, mm-hmm. and you end up with this kind of generic, you know, loophole-ridden kind of business tax credit that you know, is all over the place.
Leah, thank you for calling. And Nicholas Confessori, correspondent for the New York Times, who's been covering the Empire Zones, their successes and their problems in New York State, and now the call by some to scrap the program and start over. Thank you very much for coming on with us. This has been really interesting.
Thanks a lot, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up in a minute, where are all the bees going? And why should we care? Stay with us.